Good morning.
Good morning.
Before and after pictures always make me feel a complicated mix of emotions, and including humiliation, triumph, followed by obligation. For example, here's my before picture. There's the money shot. That's it right there. And here's me today. Do you see that family? Do you see? Now look at that woman. You never would have guessed that that derp would end up with that woman. Thank you for that. Yeah, that's enough. Yeah. You never would have guessed. And if that picture could show her inner beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit and her love for the Lord and passion for the Word and discipleship, it'd blow your mind. And I'm with her. And the more I look at that, at first I feel triumph. I'm like, yes! And then I start looking and then I start going, oh no. Like now, I have to be a guy, the kind of guy that's with a woman like that. And there's a sense of obligation and responsibility that comes in that convicts and inspires. And I want us to look at a verse today that gives all of us our before picture, before Jesus, and our after picture. And what follows is a sense of joyous obligation. So take a look with me, if you would, at Colossians chapter 1. This is a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the believers in the church at Colossae, encouraging them, rejoicing in them and in their faith, and exalting Christ above everything. And I'm going to start reading in verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light, for He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for by Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by Him and for Him. And now I want you to zoom in on verse 13, and I'm going to read this again and see if you can hear it. Ask the Lord to help you hear it as if for the first time, feeling the weight of every word. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves. Lord God, will You please give us ears to hear, open hearts to receive what You want us to say, and let us feel the weight of where we were and where You've brought us, and believe this awesome truth. Will You speak to us in this time? Protect us from distraction. Protect me from myself, Lord. Let this be Your words, Your time, that You would be exalted. Please change us by Your Spirit according to Your Word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I just want to look at verse 13, and I'm almost going to comment on every word, and I'm going to spend the whole time here in this one verse. Now, your first word, some of you have the word for, and that's not actually in the Greek, but what the NIV is doing there is giving you a word to try to show you the relationship between verse 12 and verse 13. So let's look at what does it say in verse 12. And even verse 12 is in the middle of a long sentence that is a prayer that Paul is praying. So he's basically praying that they would be giving thanks to the Father. Giving thanks for what? Because giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light, or in the kingdom of light. So what he's saying to give thanks for is the fact that we were born spiritual paupers, and He has made us spiritual princes that we get to share. He has adopted us and made us rightful heirs with all the rights and privileges of royalty in His kingdom, that we get to share in that inheritance. So verse 13 is explaining how that happened and giving another more depth into why we should be so thankful. This is how it went down. This is why we should be thankful. And what's the next word there? He. Who do you think the He is right there? You got two choices. It's either God or Jesus, right? And if you look at context, would say in verse 12, he's already talking about the Father. And if it was Jesus, then it would say at the end of the verse, it wouldn't say Son. It would say, He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into His own kingdom, right? If it was Jesus. But we know this is the Father has done something for us. What has the Father done? He has rescued us, or delivered, or saved. Now, what kind of places do you need to be rescued from? I've never been at Cinemark in the luxury loungers with my feet up watching a movie and eating popcorn and M&M's and thought, someone deliver me! I've never thought that. You need rescue and deliverance from hopeless, horrible places that you are stuck and can do nothing to get out of. You need rescue from. And He has rescued us. Now, that word rescue or deliver is ruomai, which in other places in Scripture is talking about being rescued from death or threat of death or oppression or persecution or judgment. So it's some horrible stuff that we need to be delivered from. So what has God, what's so horrible? What's this horrible place that we're stuck in that God has rescued us from? Well, it's the dominion or domain or power or system of rule. And that word, exousios, is a realm of sort of arbitrary or tyrannical rule where it's not necessarily there is legitimate rightful power at place, but there is rule there. There is control. It's a place or even a state of being controlled. That's what a dominion is, a domain, a place where there is oppressive control. And what exactly were we controlled by? It's the dominion of darkness. Not a literal darkness. This is figurative darkness. This is evil. Evil flows from... This dominion flows from and is characterized by and is ruled by spiritual darkness. Evil. And what person is at the root of that kind of evil? This is a place that is ruled by Satan. This dominion. Ruled, a dominion of darkness, ruled by Satan. Satan is this dominion's Ronnie Vitulli, the mayor of Curtin, the one who calls all the shots and is in control. Satan is in control of this dominion. It's kind of, it'd be like if there was an evil version of Ronnie. Like, I don't know why I thought of Stromboli, for the great Stromboli from Pinocchio. Because go with me for just a second. You've got all these guys on a stage putting on a show with what looks like freedom. There's the appearance of freedom, the the taunt of freedom. But you look a little closer, and there's strings all over the place, and there is an evil puppet master calling the shots. That's this dominion. We think we have freedom, but we're controlled. It's a dominion of darkness. And notice who's there. It says He has rescued us. Us meaning we, all believers. He has rescued us. This dominion of darkness, guys, you're not going to like this, but this is your hometown. Have y'all seen those shirts that say home with the silhouette of Texas on it? Like, and we love those shirts. And if you had a t-shirt that showed your spiritual hometown, it would be like the silhouette of like some dude with horns or something, and it would say darkness or something. That would be that's our hometown. That's where, and you might think, well, no, I've been a believer as long as I can remember. There's no way that I started out in the domain of darkness. But Scripture tells us that we were born there. All of us. Look on the screen at Psalm 51:5. This is David speaking representatively of all of us. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Ephesians 2, 1 and 3, it says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. By nature, we were born enemies of God. And not only were we born there, not only were we born that way, we liked it. Look at John 3:19, and this is the judgment, the light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. Romans 3:10, as it is written, none is righteous, no, not one, no one understands, no one seeks for God, even the ones that have grown up in VBS and Sunday school and Wednesday night at the church five times a week, we were born there. Not one of us escaped it. Have you ever looked at your phone when you get into the settings and there's a button that says restore to default settings? Like if there was one of those for us, our default settings is not good. Our default settings is citizens in the dominion of darkness, controlled by darkness and liking it. The domain of darkness. That's my hometown. That's your hometown. Now, how did we get there? Well, 1 Corinthians 15:22 says, for in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. Now, yes, there is hope, and we're going to get to that. That in Christ all will be made alive. But look, this is how we got to the dominion of darkness in the first place. Why we were all born there is because in Adam we all die. That Adam chose to disobey God. And because of that, guys, some of you, you may get a big nose from your dad that you've inherited, but we've all inherited something much worse from Adam. A sin nature. A origin in the dominion of darkness. And we have Adam to thank for that. And you might say, well, no, Eve did that. Well, I think Scripture is a little harder on Adam than it is on Eve. And if you look at it, remember whenever she ate the fruit and she gave the fruit to her husband who was with her. So I don't know what Adam was doing while this whole, hey, God said we're not supposed to eat from this tree. Oh yeah, did he? And this whole back and forth, like Adam, I guess, is in the back picking his nose or eating popcorn or something, going, I wonder how this is going to play out. He wasn't leading. He wasn't obeying. So we have Adam to thank for the fact that we are all born through the disobedience of one man. All died. And we're born citizens in the dominion of darkness. That's our before picture. Every one of us. citizens of the dark domain. Not only was it our address, it's also our nature. Like the evil in the dark, it's as if it's in the air and seeps in to who you are. Yet we were born that way and we're connected to the dark domain by this evil power. It reminds me of an Avatar whenever they would get on one of those horse things and the nerves would wrap up with the nerves of, and they were connected to the creatures and connected to the earth, and they were all connected. That's us in the dark domain. It's not just, we weren't just born with evil around us. It was in us and part of us, and we liked it. And we were trapped there. I guess I'm watching too much movies lately, because I think that I'm thinking of, and maybe this is Harry Potter, I don't know, but when you're in an enchanted forest and a couple of roots start to wrap around you and you're like, this is cool, you know, and then you're like, wait, I need to get out of there. And as soon as you try to get out, then they get, and so you think you're okay until you try to get out. That's the domain of darkness too. Like, we're stuck here, born there, we like it, and we're stuck, and we can't get out. There's nothing we can do. We can't just, we live in the domain of darkness. That's where we were born, and we can't just pack up our stuff and move. We can't sever that tie. We don't have it within us. We were born citizens of the dark domain. Which is why we need a rescuer. He has delivered us. He has rescued us. And I love this next word. See that little word? And. That's so good. That He didn't just go in, like if I'm wrapped up in the roots, He didn't just go in with a machete and chop it all up and say, good luck getting out. And then He didn't. He delivered us from the dark domain and brought us or transferred us. It'd be like if you're, maybe this is a Rambo movie, I don't know, if you're a POW, it'd be like, think about if the chopper comes in and kills all the bad guys, picks you up and takes you and then drops you in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean and says, hope you can swim. That would be horrible, right? No, but that's not what God did. That's not what Jesus did when He rescued you from the dark domain. He didn't just break the power of Satan and say, get yourself out, now you can beat him on your own. He got us, He airlifted us out of there and took us into safe harbor. He took us into our new homeland, into the palace, past all these guards that are here to guard us, into the inner room, tucked us in bed, and said, rest, be filled, be satisfied, be restored. This is your new home. He brought us in. He took us out of and brought us in. Delivered from the domain of darkness and brought us, transferred us to. That word also means removed. That word transferred, it's also used in, that same word is used elsewhere in Scripture, and it means removed, like from a location or a removal of status. Like it's used of Saul whenever he loses the kingdom and he's removed from the throne. Or the shrewd manager. Do you remember this guy? You did. Awesome. Way to go, God. So the shrewd manager, remember he was a manager, but when he was preparing to get that taken away from him, his position as manager was going to be removed from him. He was going to be removed from that status, removed from that privilege. So here that word removed typically, a lot of times, has to do with something good that you lose, which would seem negative. So it's kind of ironic to use this word here, because typically, when you lose citizenship, that's a bad thing. But here, this is the one citizenship you don't mind losing. You are removed from your citizenship in the dominion of darkness. It's taken away from you. And this word is also used when Paul talks about, if I had faith to remove a mountain, but have not love. So that removal, think about that, how much power that word has. To remove a mountain, that's a firmly established object. But this word remove has that weight and that power to it. So look, Jesus didn't just deliver you from the dominion of darkness. He also removed you from that status and from that identity. No matter how immovable you think it might be, He has done it. He has transferred you. You have lost that citizenship. You have lost that identity because He removed it and transferred you into a better place, into a new home, a new identity. So, are you ready for your after picture? Where did He bring us? Where did He transfer us to? The kingdom. We were transferred from a dominion into a kingdom. And remember, exousios, dominion, is this control or oppressive, tyrannical darkness where there's sort of a shadowy ruler implied but not in clear focus. The idea is it's just, you're controlled. Kingdom, on the other hand, basileia, is kingship, royal rule, reign of royalty. What's the one thing that a kingdom has that a dominion doesn't? A king. A rightful ruler. A legitimate ruler. And we've been transferred from a dominion to a kingdom. The dominion has a counterfeit king who's ruling on borrowed time. And His days are numbered. And who is this king? The kingdom of the Son. This is the kingdom belonging to the Son. This is the Son is the king. Now, look at what verse 14 says about this Son. In whom we have redemption. He has redeemed us, not only bought us, but also made us whole again. The forgiveness of sins. He forgives us. He is the image. Okay, do you remember what we were created in Genesis 1:26? We were made in God's image. How'd we do? Not so great. Because of Adam's disobedience, now we were separated, and everyone is born not in the kingdom of God, but into the dominion of darkness because of that. And now Jesus comes to fix what Adam messed up, and He is the image. He is the perfect image, and He succeeded where Adam failed. The image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. By Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, even this evil domain, this dominion. All of that was created by Jesus and for Jesus. So, the King of the kingdom is stronger than the ruler of the dominion of darkness. And He's on our side. Rather, we're on His. The kingdom of the Son He loves. So this could mean simply that The Father loves Jesus, and because of His love for Him, He gives Him this kingdom and lets Him sit on this throne, and it's an overflow of His love. The literal Greek actually says, the kingdom of the Son of His love. Isn't that interesting? The kingdom of the Son of His love, which could add a little different flavor to what He's saying here about this kingdom. Of His love means that it flows from the love of God. So everything about this kingdom, with the Son on the throne, who He does love, everything about it flows out of the heart of God and emanates from the love of God and is a manifestation of the love of God. It's born out of, this whole kingdom is born out of the love of God and characterized by the love of God. What a beautiful contrast to the dominion of darkness. Here's a kingdom of light, of love, of warmth. Which means also, guess how that king feels about every one of his subjects? Love. Unconditional love, regardless of our conduct and whether or not we behave as citizens. It's not based on our merits. The kingdom of the Son, of His love. I want to show you a couple of verses that talk about, I want you to see the contrast between the ruler of the dominion of darkness and the ruler of the kingdom of light. And see what Scripture says. Look at these. John 8:44, it says, the devil is a liar and the father of lies. John 1:14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come so that they may have life and may have it abundantly. John 6:22, and now that you have been set free from sin, the result is eternal life. 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 12:2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. John 15:9, just as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. You ever wonder how much He loves you? How much the King loves you? How much does the Father love Jesus? That's how much He loves you. John 15:13, greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. And 1 Peter 2:24, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. He doesn't just pay to get us out. He makes us righteous by giving us his very nature. By his wounds you were healed. So that's a lot of words, and I want to summarize it for my simple brain. So let me show you a side-by-side of these two kingdoms, these two masters, a tale of two masters, if you will. Look at Master Satan deceives you, while King Jesus tells the truth. Master Satan accuses you, King Jesus forgives you. Satan enslaves you, Jesus frees you. Satan conforms you, pressing you into his mold. And Jesus transforms you from the inside out with his righteousness. Satan hates you. Jesus loves you. Satan takes life and gives burden. Jesus gives life and takes burden. There's your before and after. I want to ask you just to take 10 seconds, eyes wide open, looking at that list, and just pick one of those and thank the Lord for it in your heart right now. Mm-hmm. I love that Jesus takes our burden. Colossians 1:20 says He made peace by shedding His blood on the cross, which is just crazy because it's normal for a king to make peace in his kingdom by shedding blood, but he sheds the blood of his rebels. But this king bears the burden for himself and makes peace by shedding his own blood. That's our king. Now you may be wondering, where your citizenship lies. It's possible there's somebody here that is seeing this description and thinking, I'm not so sure. I may still be in the dominion of darkness. So what does it take to become a citizen in the kingdom of light? See, you may think, well, look, he said he has rescued, he has delivered. That means it's already done, I'm already there. But Jesus doesn't force anyone. It's like, yeah, it's done, it's accomplished, it's paid for. It's like somebody buying you a plane ticket. And they give it to you. And you have to, by faith, redeem it. And God isn't going to force you into His kingdom. He's not going to reverse United and drag you onto the plane and make sure you go where He has rescued you. But how do we partake in this deliverance? Well, first thing we have to do is we have to die. We're born as members of the dominion of darkness. And we have to die. And not a faking it kind of a death. Where all your dominion of darkness neighbors in that zip code, in the domain, still know you're just faking it and they still keep calling on you. No, it has to be a death where they put you in a box and you're done. To where you die to that old life. To where the only thing that brings you back is going to be a miraculous rebirth. You can't just pack up your stuff and move out of the dominion of darkness. You have to die and be reborn. How do I get reborn? Well, do you remember the conversation Jesus had with Nicodemus? In John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus answered him and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see, he cannot enter the kingdom of God," that kingdom of light. And then a little bit further in that chapter is John 3:16. I don't know if y'all knew that's in context of this discussion he's having with Nicodemus, answering the question, how can I be reborn? It's believing. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whoever believes in Him will not die but have everlasting life. So if you were kind of thinking, I'm not sure where my citizenship lies, now you hear, oh, believe. Okay, whoo! I'm off the hook. I have believed in Jesus my whole life. But I want to caution you not to let yourself off the hook too quick. Because if your believing is, I know Jesus is real, I know He's my Savior, I know what He did, and I believe it's all true, it's possible to have all that stuff up here and actually have the faith of a demon. Because the demons believe all those same things. If you don't believe me, listen to James chapter 2, verse 19. You believe that there is one God, good. But even the demons believe that, and they shudder. Demons believe in God, and they believe in Jesus, and that He's the Son of God. And they even believe in His power. They shudder because they're afraid of Him. So what's the difference between that kind of faith and a faith that enters you into the kingdom of light? These demons have their allegiance with the ruler of the dominion of darkness. They believe it, but there is no transfer of allegiance. Satan is their ruler. Biblical belief carries with it the idea of a surrender of allegiance to Jesus is now my king. I don't think it has to be a separate act where you believe here and then give something extra. I think they're one in the same. If you see Jesus for who He truly is, King of the universe, a King of love who loves you, and you see what He's done for you, you cannot believe in Him without giving Him your allegiance. When you see Him for who He truly is, King, and you say, I'm yours, when you believe who He really is. How could you not? There's a transfer of allegiance, a transfer of trust. Included in biblical belief, biblical faith. When you see Him for who He truly is, He is King. Now, I think that this concept is difficult for us, partly because we're Americans. Because we don't have a king. So I think it's hard for us to see Jesus as King and respond to Him as a king. We are a nation born out of and championing independence and autonomy and individualism, and I don't need anything and I bow to no one. And in a democratic republic, the president exists for us. And in a kingdom, we exist for the king. And when you enter into the presence of a king, you have two choices. You either bow in humble surrender and receive life, or you stand in defiant rebellion and face certain death. When we see Jesus as King for who He really is, we have no choice but to believe and bow and say, You are my King and I am yours. And we are transferred by faith out of the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of light. By the way, if you have not believed in Jesus as your King with surrender and allegiance included, don't miss the opportunity right now to repent and believe and bow to King Jesus in your heart right now. Philippians says He has exalted Him to the highest place so that at the name of Jesus, every tongue will confess and every knee will bow. It's going to happen. But we don't have to wait. Right now, we can believe and bow and become His and become a citizen in the kingdom of light. Be saved, be rescued by King Jesus. And that's a real transfer of citizenship, of identity. It's real. So don't believe the lies. Because remember, Satan is the father of lies, right? And he wants you back. So if he can get you believing that you're still there, then he can have his way with you. Remember Look at our verse, verse 13. He has rescued us. What tense is that? That's past tense. For we who truly believe in Jesus, it's done. The next time that Satan comes after you and tries to get you living like you used to and comes at you with the desires from the dominion of darkness and has you looking at the refrigerator, going for one more whatever, or going to whatever website, or texting or calling whatever person that you're feeling drawn to and you know you shouldn't, but in that moment you feel powerless, so then you start to just bargain a little bit and you go, there's no way I can say no right now, so I guess I'll just talk for a little bit and not tomorrow. Or I'll just have one more instead of my normal three, or whatever it is. And we start to bargain because we give up on the fact that we're actually free. And we believe the lies. But look, if you're in Christ, if you have faith and have surrendered to Him, He has delivered you. And you can throw this verse in Satan's face and say, I'm not listening to you. I have been delivered. And my king said, Tetelestai, it's finished. And I don't have to listen to you anymore. I am no longer identified with you, Satan, in your domain. I am an heir in the kingdom of light. And I can say yes to Jesus by His power. Every time. Romans 7:24, Paul says, what a wretched man that I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? And sometimes I feel like that. When I'm in the middle of spiritual battle, I think, who's going to rescue me? Man, I need rescue. But look what comes next. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. You say thank you for things that have already been done. He says, who's going to rescue me? Oh yeah, it's already done. Thank you, God, through Jesus Christ. I'm already rescued. We can claim it by faith in the moment of spiritual battle by thanking Him for this truth. Jesus, you have rescued me already. I'm not a slave to sin anymore. I'm a child. I'm a prince, a princess, an heir, an adopted, beloved son or daughter in the kingdom of light. I belong to Jesus. Now, what time is it? 5 minutes? What's going on right now? If we were born in the dominion of darkness, and Satan has control and power, but Jesus is King, what's going on right now? We're in the overlapping of the ages, where Jesus came first as a suffering servant to regain a spiritual kingdom. And He's going to come back as a conquering king to reestablish His physical kingdom on earth. So in the in-between, we are citizens in that kingdom of light. And we have legitimate power and authority by faith through Jesus Christ to wage war against Satan and to push back his kingdom of darkness and advance the kingdom of light. That's who we are, and that's what our job is. Remember, the before and after comes with obligation, comes with implications. We used to be in the dominion of darkness. Now, we are citizens of the kingdom of light, and we have a job to do now, to live as citizens. How do we live as citizens of the kingdom of light in this in-between age before Jesus comes back and installs His physical kingdom? Well, I've got three words for you. Pray. Jesus says in Matthew 6:10, this is how you're supposed to pray. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That I pray, Lord, the way that You are obeyed perfectly in heaven now, I want that on earth, starting in my own heart. That I would bring every squirming, wiggling desire in the recesses of the dark places of my heart and throw them at Your feet, that they would bow to You as King, and that You would have my obedience, that the kingdom would come first in my heart and then in the people that I touch. And that my daily time with the Lord would be like receiving decrees from a king that are no longer optional. But I pray, Lord Jesus, please let Your kingdom come, starting with me. And then we seek, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. What if every decision I made, big and small, what job, what college, where to move, what spouse, who to date, where to go to lunch, where to invest, had everything to do, not with building my own kingdom or me being more comfortable or financially secure or happy, but what if every decision was, Lord, how do I advance Your kingdom in this choice? And I seek Your kingdom above my own. And how do we do that practically? Well, we preach. Look at Matthew 24:14. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Our job is to preach the gospel of the kingdom and to take it to every part of the world, to every people group, every culture. As we get to herald the King, and we get to proclaim to the captives, you can be free, and there is a King so much better than the master you're serving now. And we can proclaim hope to them, to all nations, that all nations would have representatives that come to Jesus and worship Him and give Him glory. Worshippers of God, subjects of the King from all nations. Why? Why does Jesus want to build this kingdom of subjects of all nations? What's His end goal? What's He building to? 1 Corinthians 15 says, when the end comes, when Jesus has finished putting all the enemies under His feet, He takes the kingdom and gives it back to the Father so that God may be all in all. He's building a kingdom so that He can give it back to God and everybody can see how amazing God is and God can receive all glory. And we get to be a part of that. We get to be a part of advancing that kingdom. This is your before and after. Used to be slaves in the dominion of darkness, peasants. Now, you're free citizens, heirs to the King in the kingdom of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of light. And we get to help Him grow it. And we get to be a part of it. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, our King, we bow in our hearts to You now and we give You honor. And we ask that You would please search our hearts, find any part, any desire that is standing in defiance to You. And Lord, as we look at where we were and where You've brought us, I want to do what this passage is telling us to do, that we would give thanks. Thank You, Father, for rescuing us and doing what we couldn't. And Lord, I pray that You would, if You have graciously and patiently let us find satisfaction in pursuing our own kingdom, our own ambitions. I pray that You would let all that satisfaction dry up and that You would make that bitter to the palate of our souls, that when we seek our own kingdom, that it would be disgusting to us and that it would be bland, and that we would find only excitement, only joy, and only long to advance Your kingdom, Jesus. That others could be loved by You the way that we are. So that You could receive glory and be all in all. Thank You, Father. Thank You, King Jesus. We love You so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.